This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Happy Saturday morning to you. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing, with your hosts, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil Summers. We're here every Saturday at 9 a.m. taking your phone calls at 877-881-1053 and also your fan text messages at 43733. We've got Waddle running our board, Jedi Jansen screening your phone calls, so feel free to call us. You can also reach AutoFlex because they're open today. And what are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Or you can go to AutoFlex.com in case you want to look at all our great pre-owned cars, or in case you want to read the automotive news that we're going to talk about on the show today and a lot of other stuff we've published during the week. You can go to AutoFlex.com, hit Facebook or Twitter. Lots of news stories there.
And now we have our podcasts on iTunes as well.
We do. Podcasts on iTunes. So if you missed a past show, if you want to hear an athlete that we had on the air, if you just want to hear us, you can tune us in.
That's right.
Because it's so great.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we've got a lot of good stuff coming up today. I know for one, we want to get into electric cars. And then there's some controversy going on with the Saab brand.
Do we want to get into electric cars? I want to. Yes.
You know, I was thinking about this, and it might be an easy poll to run. I don't know how many people are with us right now. But if you texted in with either a Y or an N, we could read their text and maybe count them up and see what kind of numbers are out there. I'm wondering how many people would drive an electric vehicle right now if it were affordable. Would you flip over and drive an electric vehicle?
Let's go through the room then and give our votes.
And okay. Well, and I would also like to know, what would it take? What kind of range would you need in order to say, yes, I'll go for the electric car? I mean, is 40 miles enough, or do you need 200 miles on a charge?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Because that's for me.
Mileage anxiety is a big problem with electric cars, because you can't get an extension cord long enough. But the thing is, the average driver, they say in the United States, drives less than 20 miles each way to work. Mm-hmm. The average driver drives less than 20 miles. I'm not sure that's true in the Metroplex.
That's true, because it's very laid out. Everything's spread out so far here.
So if you could drive an electric car, would you drive an electric car? Text us a Y for yes and an N for no. And we'll just take a quick listener poll. Who out there would drive an electric car if you could?
43733 is the fan text. I think I would.
Those are cheap, too. One letter. You don't have to spend a lot to do that.
Right. One character. Stop. I think I probably would. I do have quite the commute coming from McKinney here to the radio station in Uptown Dallas. So that, for me, is about 35 miles each direction. If it could keep the battery life and I could get here, I think I would. And if it would mean that I would have smaller payments.
You know, this last week, President Obama had said that he thinks that everyone should show the manufacturers that they are willing to drive a hybrid or an alternative fuel vehicle. Mm-hmm. And he also said that by 2015, the fleet, and he's talking about all of the cars that the government runs, will run on alternative fuel.
That means we're paying for them.
That does mean that. So that's what he wants to have by 2015. He also said that he wants to do that in order to, and the whys and the ends are coming in now. That's great. Mm-hmm. He also wants to ensure that we save an additional, what was it? The percentage was it? It was another 15% by then of imported fuel, imported oil. And interestingly enough, James Baker at the Petroleum Institute at Rice says that if we just keep doing what we are doing now, we'll save over twice that. So
interesting.
Yeah, that's sort of an interesting thing.
Okay, so you guys, would you, yes or no, drive electric cars?
I would, because my commute is so short that it would completely work in my world. Mm-hmm. I don't drive very many miles, and an electric car would work for me.
How about you, David?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm close to work. Yeah. You know, I'm less than 10 miles, certainly.
Is mine ridiculous, then, to say yes with a 35-mile commute?
Well, no, not if you have a charger here at the office.
Yeah.
You know, you could, as long as you could charge at home and then come in and plug in at work. And there are plenty of charging stations.
Yes, that's the big worry. Because if you have to stop or run any errands on the way in or on the way home, then you're just...
He read that North Park Mall is putting in
charging stations being put in at North Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
good
absolutely.
Deal.
Okay, some of the 10 texters are great. We've got a lot of whys and ends so far, but one of them says, no, because I live in an apartment and it kind of looks like white trash with an extension cord running off my balcony.
Good point.
Good point.
I think if people are going to text in, no, they would not drive an electric car. They need to give us the reason why.
I'm trying to figure out
here's a yes if the mileage was over 150.
Sybil, here's somebody that was out at the game with you last night. They texted in a B. I'm not sure what that means.
Maybe.
Well, we're all curious. What would the additional cost of the electricity be? Is it going to be as much as fuel or less? Or
no, it's going to be a lot less than fuel. It's less than gasoline.
Okay.
Yeah, electricity is just to charge an electric car is less than gasoline. Now, the cost of the electric car right now for a conventional vehicle is more than the cost of a regular car that does the same thing.
Because of the R&D.
Because of the R&D, because of the cost of the batteries and that kind of thing.
R&D, research and development?
Yep. Correct.
Just like when we buy, you know, the new plasma TV when it comes, you know, $5,000 and then it's $1,200 after.
Okay, here's a yes.
We've sold so many.
Here's a yes, only if my mileage and vehicle cost were comparable and it was actually helping the planet.
Huh.
I don't think we're going to run out of electricity, so that's not an issue.
Well, the bottom line with helping the planet, it's just I feel like you take from one pile and put in another because we even determined already with the hybrids that just the process of making those batteries was not very green.
Right. It actually was worse than using regular gasoline.
It's
kind of
bad.
Isn't it?
Where they manufactured it, then they had to ship it overseas for another process and then back and forth and, you know, how much oil is burned and how much pollution is created and by just manufacturing those batteries. So if you don't look at the big picture, and initially when the hybrids came out, they were so much more expensive than the fuel cars that it would take about 10 years to recoup your extra money in the fuel savings.
Yeah, I think that's still true. I mean, if you're looking at the difference in a regular gas car and a hybrid car, especially considering, and we'll do the story a little bit later in the show, but 40 miles per gallon is attainable now, and it's not terribly expensive. There's a number of vehicles that'll give you 40 miles per gallon that are inexpensive, and we'll talk about those vehicles later in the show. That really changes the equation because if you look at the least expensive hybrid out there right now, I think it's the Prius at around $22,000.
Here's somebody that works for Frito-Lay. They just put in charging stations, and they're getting electric work trucks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ahead of the times right there.
It is. It's coming. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're getting some good tax breaks for doing this.
I was on the, that's one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the phone yesterday with a company that has a business that sells electric vehicles. Now, what they sell are vehicles that are around town vehicles. They're neighborhood vehicles. They're called NEVs, neighborhood electric vehicles, top speed, 30 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them a lot in smaller communities, retirement communities, marina communities, things like that.
People call them golf carts.
Yeah, but they're not. These are actually little cars.
Like smart cars?
Yeah, they look like smart cars.
Oh, wow.
And sort of cool. And we're trying to find out because right now, if you buy an electric vehicle, there's a $7,500 tax credit you can take advantage of.
Per car?
Per
car. So if you buy a fleet, you get that many discounts?
Well, now there's some question in my mind as to how that works. I don't know yet.
But as an individual,
you say $7,500.
Well, and they did that with the hybrids when they first came out. The first, however many sold, those people got a tax break of $3,000 to $3,500 on their taxes.
I remember that.
And then after a certain number were sold, the tax break was gone. Mm-hmm. So you had to get in there early. Get it early.
Let's see. We have a text.
My truck costs $85 to fill up. I want something cheaper.
Screw the gas. My truck costs $85 to fill up. That's great.
Yikes.
Here's another one. No, I can't drive one because I'm 7 feet tall and will not fit in a mini electric car. There you have it.
Yeah, it's not going to work for everybody.
At some point, though, if that becomes the time or the way of the time, it's not going to be small cars only. We're going to have big SUVs that run on electricity.
And they do now. And so with the tax credit that you're afforded, it makes the cost of an electric vehicle a little bit more reasonable when compared to a like cost of another vehicle. The smaller ones are certainly the most efficient. One of the bigger problems that they have with them is that power windows air conditioning, power locks, all of the power accessories that you use, drain the battery.
Drain the battery.
And it takes away from the battery power.
It's like playing games on your smartphone.
Exactly.
Zap the energy.
But now they are coming up with some technology so that the batteries actually recharge when the car is in a braking mode. And so that has enabled them to go ahead and include air conditioning and stuff on the cars. So it's sort of the thing of the future. The electricity is going to be less than the, at least right now, less than the gasoline. So your fuel cost would be less. Charging is an issue, certainly, because there's not many places to charge. And you can't charge one at home on standard electric. If you put in a special charge station, you can charge them at home.
Yeah, but what's
if you don't,
cost?
Well, it's going to cost a little bit. And if you don't charge them with a special charging station, you may not have enough time to charge them between when you get home at night and when you leave again in the
morning. I
know.
Sometimes I get home so late. I'm like, I've got to be back at work in 8 hours. What? This isn't right.
This is a good question here. Does sitting in traffic reduce the charge? Like just idling?
Well, it doesn't
actually idle.
I'm
sure.
It doesn't
idle.
There's no idle to an electric engine. If it's not moving, it's not running.
Probably only if you're running your air and your radio.
Right.
So it'd be
that
like
little bit.
Having a lamp plugged in but not turned on.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay. It's like a stop-start mode in
automobiles.
It wouldn't
be like your DVR box that's plugged in and running all the time. It'd be like the lamp. Okay.
It's sort of like the stop-start mode in gas cars that they have in Europe now and that we're going to see in cars here very, very shortly. And that is when you pull up to a red light, your engine will stop. And then when you touch the accelerator again, it will start again. It's not very expensive technology, and it really saves a tremendous amount of fuel when you start thinking about the savings of actually not having that engine running while you're at a red light. Or standing in line at Pizza Hut, or at McDonald's or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Do you realize how quiet it would be outside of Autoflex Leasing on Central Expressway? When we are out there delivering cars and teaching people how to use their radio and navigation systems, it is so loud with all the traffic whizzing by on 75. It'd be so quiet with all those electric cars.
Okay, so here's we've got the one thing that I hadn't thought of. This guy says, no, I won't drive one because I won't be able to rev up my engine and pick up the chicks. On that note.
Right. Okay, so I guess our survey concludes with the majority of people saying yes, they would drive electric cars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very well then. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about gas prices and find out whether or not that cheaper gas is bad for your engine. So stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex, yeah. We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive with your hosts, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil Summers. Phone number here is 877-881-1053, or you can fan text us anytime you want, 43733. You can also call Autoflex Leasing if you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle. And how do you reach people there, David?
You can call either 817 or 972. In fact, you should call either 817 or 972-234-1234. You can reach us online at autoflex.com, and that's also where you can go and click on the Facebook or the Twitter icon and read the stories that we are doing on the air, plus a lot of other stories. We post auto news all week long to our Facebook and Twitter pages. So if you want to find out what's going on inside the industry, more than just what you're going to see on television or hear in commercials, go to autoflex.com, check on the Facebook or Twitter feed.
And we've talked about before, a lot of times when you see these, I'm doing finger quotes, news stories. They're usually paid for by a manufacturer, so it's skewed a certain direction.
Well, you really can't trust a lot of what you read in print, and you can't trust a lot of what you see on television because all of those places have sponsors, and they can't say things that would make one of the sponsors mad.
Right.
So if it's just like the news out of the Detroit News a few weeks ago where they actually changed a review on the Dodge 200 after the paper was out, the review was brutal, and before they published that online, they had gone in and modified it to make it more verbally agreeable. Yeah, whatever they said. Anyway, they backed off because they didn't want to make Dodge mad.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they did make Dodge mad.
Oh, they did,
Dodge wah-wahed about it.
What do they do?
Wah-wah.
Okay.
So if you want unbiased news, that's why you go to Autoflex, because it's industry insider news. It's not just, here's what I found at Google.
Well, it's sort of like getting a car from Autoflex, too, because if you go to a Chevrolet store, they're not going to tell you anything bad about what you're looking at, or an Audi store, or a Land Rover store, or whatever. You're going to hear the really, really good stuff, but it's not unbiased, certainly.
In fact, recently, one of our leasing specialists was talking to a client about one particular model of SUV, and it's not the most reliable, also wasn't the most affordable, and he offered him an alternative vehicle. Then the client said, well, you know, I'll entertain that idea. Drove it, actually took delivery of it, and is so grateful. And another relative in the family loves it, and he's going to call John. Mm-hmm. And so we can give you advice and opinions based upon our experience, and we're not married to a brand.
Right.
So, hey, have you considered this as an alternative? We can save you money, or we can give you more options, or you know, a better vehicle.
Like Sybil said, it's really, really hard to get unbiased advice out there, because if you go to the dealer, they're not going to shoot straight with you. They're going to tell you the good stuff, but they're not going to tell you if there's a downside.
Right.
If you go to the factory websites or the dealer websites, again, you're not going to get any unbiased opinions. You're going to get what they are selling. At Autoflex, our customers are what we take care of.
In addition, I feel like we offer so much more information about what you really need. You know, not everybody needs the same thing. So not everybody falls into that manufacturer's 3-year, 36,000-mile lease category.
Right.
I mean, again, I could drive those kind of miles, but you live in McKinney, you couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a higher mileage lease. And I can't tell you how many times people have said, well, they've said, don't worry about my mileage and don't worry about this and don't worry about that. Well, worry. Because Joe, who's telling you don't worry, is not the person you're signing the contract with. So deal with professionals who are going to be looking out for you, because our goal is to bring you back again. You know, and if we do it right the first time, then you'll come back and you'll be a client for life. For an example, on Monday, one of our good customers, Katie, is getting a new car for her daughter. Her sister has gotten a car from us. You'll see their pictures on Facebook after we take all the pictures, but she's getting the new Camaro for her kiddo.
Oh, cool.
And she actually emailed me probably about a month and a half ago and said, what do you think about, you know, this kind of a car for a teenager? And of course, I said, do you really want to know? It depends on the teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her daughter's a more responsible kiddo, but I said, don't put her in a V8.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, that's more power than the majority of any people need to be driving.
Right.
But definitely not a teenager. Because she also might have a friend that gets behind the wheel of that car and does something silly. So she did go with that advice and stick to the V6, but it's an awesome car. So we'll just give you some good advice. We really want to take care of you.
Okay, now back to the story. Will cheap gas hurt my car? And this is an interesting thing, because you get sold a lot of stuff with gasoline. Mm. A lot of advertisements, a lot of hype. Everyone has the best. Everyone has the most whatever, and leaves your engine the best and that kind of thing. I went to do some research on a site called TrueCar.com. It's a really, really good site. A guy named Mike Koresh runs it. And TrueCar.com is only data provided by consumers. So if you really want to know how many miles per gallon a car gets, it's a great site to go to. If you want to know about reliability, you have to go in and register your car, and then you have to answer a lot of questions to get access to the site. Because his whole idea is to build a database of actual information on automobiles, not what a manufacturer says or advertising, but what happens when you drive it from point A to point B every day for 4 or 5 years.
So real feedback.
It's tremendous. Yeah, and it really is. So will cheap gas hurt your car? Here's what TrueCar.com says. There are two kinds of gasoline. There's top-tier gas. And then there's regular gas. And top-tier gasoline has more additives and more cleaners than regular gasoline does.
This is not the same as premium.
No.
Okay.
And the government mandates that a certain amount of detergent additives are put into each gallon of gasoline to help keep your engine clean and to keep pollutants down. Interestingly enough, when they laid out the amount of additives that they wanted, they required a lot less than some people were actually using at the time. So what we saw was some of the gasoline manufacturers said, hey, okay, well, we can do what the government said. We'll save some money, and they took some of theirs out. So they don't add as much detergents and additives that help keep your engine clean and keep pollution down. But at any rate, will cheap gas hurt my car? Probably not. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive a car that says you must use premium fuel, premium fuel must be used. Then you got to use it. Otherwise, you know, it's all about the same.
That'll prevent knocking.
Yeah, it does prevent knocking.
Improves fuel economy.
Exactly, yeah.
Now, the top tier, that has something to do with, like, gunking up your...
Exactly. And there are seven manufacturers that actually want everyone that drives their cars to drive...
To use top-tier
gas, because it will, in fact, prevent a lot of the sludge and stuff. So if you drive... It's actually six, I'm sorry. If you drive an Audi, a BMW, General Motors, Honda, Toyota, or Volkswagen... They ask that you drive and you use top-tier gas. And I know that a couple of those manufacturers have had problems with gunk buildup on some of their four-cylinder engines.
Well, I know with my Acura, they want me to use premium unleaded, but I never read in my owner's manual that they wanted me to use top-tier gas. So
it's by manufacturer.
The top-tier gas is who? It's not everybody.
No, well, and it's according to who you want to see. I mean, it's according to where you live, too. But the names that probably will be most familiar are Chevron is a top-tier gas. Esso, if you live where they still call it Esso. Exxon is a top-tier gas. Quick Trip is a top-tier gas. Mobil, Phillips 66.
Texaco?
Shell.
Chevron?
Texaco.
Are they in there?
And U.S. Oil.
Okay.
So now, and if you live somewhere, you could get top tier gas called Turkey Hill Minute Market. Anyway.
Well, so if you go to any of these random little mom and pop shops, you may not be getting top tier gas.
Yeah, you're probably not.
So that just means maybe less detergent.
Exactly.
So what's the alternative? You can add an you can put an additive in your...
You can put an additive in, and there's certain manufacturers that say if you drive their cars and don't buy top-tier gas, that you should put an additive in. The two that come to mind are Audi and BMW, and they both sell a gasoline additive that will give you the same result.
You just pour it directly in the gas tank?
Pour it in the tank.
Oh, that doesn't seem safe.
No, it is. It's fine.
Hopefully it comes with a little funnel, so it's not spilling out the
side. I suggest you contact your service tech, whoever it is that you trust to take care of your vehicle, and ask them, you know, where should I be buying my gas, or do I need to put some additive in there?
Well, and the other thing is, if you change your oil regularly and maintain your car, it's going to help it run a lot cleaner. It just does.
Yeah, but this is in the gas. I mean, you've got to change your fuel filter, and you know, you hear
well,
about
it's
people
all,
getting bad gas, but I don't know.
It's all trash
in the gas.
No, not trashing the gas. It just doesn't have the detergents in it that clean the engine out. And it's okay. All sort of works together.
But still, all gas is the same because all of that goes to the same refinery. It's just a matter of how
before
much detergent
they add,
is
they
put
add.
In.
Okay. Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So there you have it. Stay tuned. We will be back just after this with the Saturday Morning Test Drive.
Autoplex Lease, oh yeah. Damn this traffic jam.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your hosts David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil Summers. 877-881-1053 is the phone number here if you have a question, or if you're thinking of getting into a new car and you have some concerns or questions about it, feel free to give us a call. You can also fan text us at 43733, and you can call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. AutoFlex.com on the World Wide Web.
That's right. Okay, so we got a fan text during the break that you wanted to address.
Yeah, it says, I have a red 2006 Pontiac Grand Prix that I want to get rid of to purchase or lease a Mitsubishi Lancer Evo. A Lancer Evo, those are those fun little cars. My car has between 60,000 and 70,000 miles. Got
like
cracked
a power
dash.
Drill.
Oh, 7,000. Okay, here's the deal. That car, 2006 Grand Prix, is worth somewhere around 7,500 with a good dash. So I would say he's in. Yeah, because his has a crack. I would say that the car is about even. He owes about what
crack?
The car is worth. So, gosh. Anyway. I would say he could trade it just fine. Should work just like a champ. Might even have a little bit of equity. That's another thing. People have equity right now that don't know they have equity.
Mm-hmm.
Used cars have actually been going up in value, and it's a function of market. Three years ago, they quit building cars, basically, because people quit buying them.
Mm-hmm.
So there were very few cars sold, new cars sold 3 years ago. 2 years ago, very few new cars sold. Now, those cars that would be three-year-old used cars weren't built. So there is a lack of used cars out there, and it's a market-driven price. So the fewer there are, the more expensive they are. Everybody out there driving around in a car, your car is probably worth more than you think it is. Trust me.
Economics 101.
Yeah.
Supply and demand.
So if you want to find out what your car's worth, can you call Autoflex?
Yeah, you can. You can do it one of two ways. If you call Autoflex, we'll be glad to get you a value on the car. In fact, if you'd like to drop by, we can actually appraise the car and give you an appraisal. If you go to autoflex.com, you can get a Black Book appraisal right there online just by filling in the blanks. That's basically what I did with this information the gentleman gave me online here. I just went to the Black Book online. You go to autoflex.com, click on what's my car's worth, and what my car's worth, and you'll get a Black Book appraisal right from there. Ask a couple of questions, and you have access to the Black Book, which is a great source of information. It's what all the dealers use.
And, you know, it'll be fairly well accurate, but some cars are in higher demand than others. So, it's you know, if you're really interested in trading, you need to contact us, because if your car's worth more, we'll put more money in it for you.
And we need Hondas, Toyotas, Mazdas. We need Mazdas really
Nissans.
And here's why. Honda had to shut down some plants. Nissan has shut their plants down for 6 days starting yesterday. Mazda has quit taking retail orders on any cars made in Japan for May. So what we're starting to see is a shortage of those cars. We could use some. The other thing we could use, interestingly enough, are Chevrolet Tahoes and Ford Explorers and Ford Expeditions, because there's a really good demand for those, and there's a big shortage of them right now.
Even though fuel has gone up.
Wow.
I think people are ready for it to go back down. It's going to keep doing that up-down thing.
Roller coaster.
And if you got five kids, you got to have something that'll carry five kids.
That's true.
Yeah. Better think about it before you start having all those kids and the size of vehicle that you have to have.
Good point.
Plan a little better.
So summertime is just around the corner. People are going to be taking road trips. And I know one of the things that my dad always taught me growing up is you need to have a certain emergency kit in your car, especially for long road trips, because if you get stranded, you got to have certain necessities.
You know, anybody that saw 127 hours understands.
I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait.
It's a reality of it brings to reality what happens if something bad happens. Are you prepared?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you cut your own arm off? Anyway, do you have an emergency kit in your car? What do you carry in your car in case of emergency? Now, not so much here, but certainly in the northern part of the country and on the West Coast out in the mountains, they've had a lot of people get stuck in snowstorms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the car slides off the road. They no one else comes. They're stuck in the car. You can get stuck in the desert. You can. I was maybe close to getting stuck between here and Houston a few months ago, driving a car that was very unreliable.
Uh-huh.
And so what do you have in case your car won't go any further? There's a good list of stuff that we've come up with. First of all, emergency kits, and you can get an emergency kit from AAA. There's a business called Quake Care.
Quake Care.
Quake, Q-U-A-K-E, like in Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Quake Care. They both produce good emergency kits for the cars that have medical supplies and that kind of thing. But if you looked at the basics, what should you really have?
Well, this information actually made me realize how unprepared I am even at home. You know, so just imagine for your car. Well, ideally, you want water. You need at least a gallon of water per person for up to 3 days.
Wow.
And food, you need non-perishable food like energy bars, peanut butter, canned goods are good options. There's food bars out there that have 2,500 calories in them that are an efficient choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just in case. If you're doing one of those cross-country trips and you were to get stranded, water and food.
And if you're having canned food, you need to have a can opener.
Well,
good point.
Blankets,
God, that'd be frustrating.
Yes. Blankets or sleeping bags, the warmer the better, just in case you're forced to sleep in your car or outside. Because think about in the snowstorm, all those people in Chicago that were stranded.
Right. Well, you know, and the other thing, if you don't have room for blankets or sleeping bags, those Mylar sheets, you can buy those Mylar blankets that are thermal that'll help you keep your body heat in, and they'll fold up into nothing almost.
Yeah, but in your trunk, you can put a blanket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A couple of blankets. Definitely your first aid kit. Band-Aids, antiseptic, ointment, gauze, cleanser, scissors, tweezers, etc. Matches and a lighter. Be sure to keep these in a dry place. Actually, you should store everything in Ziploc bags.
Oh, yeah.
Plastic bags. Just like you're going down the river, going down the Guadalupe. You know, put everything in a Ziploc bag. A small shovel and a scraper. So if you're stuck in the snow, the shovel would be golden, and the scraper will get the frozen ice off your windows so you can see the road. A candle, a long-lasting candle. A wind-up flashlight, and you need the wind-up because it works without the batteries. A whistle, that way you can alert emergency workers to your location, especially if you're buried under the snow. Jumper cables. Now, everybody seems to have jumper cables, but, you know, I don't have any in my car right now, actually.
I don't have them in my car right now.
I wouldn't be able to help anybody that was had a dead battery.
Never leave home without jumper cables.
I know.
A fire extinguisher. That way, if you're in an accident or if your car overheats and bursts into flames, you don't have to wait for the fire trucks. You can put it out yourself. I mean, how many times have we seen those cars burning on the side of the road? If only they had a fire extinguisher.
I had a friend of mine that's car caught fire on the highway, and he pulled over. And usually when your car catches fire, you don't really want it back, especially if it's an under-the-hood fire because it burns up all the wires and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he said a guy pulled up next to him in a pickup, and he jumped out with a fire extinguisher. He said, you get back in your truck and you leave.
Did you put that fire out? Of course, your cell phone with an extra charger.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's number one.
And I suppose if you're traveling, you need a cash stash hidden somewhere in the car.
So you can,
and maybe that'd be good just in case you were robbed or something. Somebody rolled you.
Yeah.
You'd still have some cash somewhere.
Or if you had to walk to go get gas, you have cash to buy it.
Right, instead of just your debit card.
Mm-hmm. Or if you happen to see a cab driver pass by and he can hit you.
Oh, that's
not a bad
ride
idea.
Somewhere else.
Yeah.
An auto escape tool. You know, they have those special little tools that will break the window out and cut the seatbelt.
I'm going to tell you, that is something everybody should have.
You should have that.
Where do
that
you
really
get
is.
One?
You can buy them all
auto
over the place.
Store.
Auto parts stores sell
stores.
Them. Yeah, it's like a little hammer with a little pointy end on it, and it will absolutely shatter a door glass just by hitting it.
And then the other end has
it.
A blade that'll cut you, through those seat belts. It's
if you're
a special
stuck in your
blade.
Seat belt, you can just cut yourself out real quick.
And that's like if you're underwater, because usually you can't open the door, so you can crack the window and still
exactly.
swim out.
Right.
Got
yeah.
it.
You know, I
or
didn't,
if the car was on fire, that would short out the electrical system
oh, yeah.
too and trap you probably.
I didn't realize that a lot of people don't know what you should do. And a guy at the office, Harry Theophilides, came up the last time we talked about that on the show and said, I had no idea what you're supposed to do if your car's submerged.
Mm-hmm.
And here's how it works, folks. If you drive your car into water deep enough to submerge it, the engine weighs more than anything else does. It's going to go down first. So your car is going to nose down into the water, and your doors aren't going to open because the water pressure on the outside holds them closed.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is sort of maintain your cool, and there'll be an air pocket at the back glass of the car. Or if you're in an SUV, back up at the back corner, there'll be an air pocket back there that you can hang out in until you get at least one of your doors all the way underwater. Now, once the door is underwater, you'll be able to open the door. Or if you're smart enough to have one of these little tools, you could break the glass. So you hang out up at the back of the car while you've got the air there, and then you simply swim out once you can get one of the doors open.
Now, once you open the door, doesn't all this water rush in?
No, I mean, the car's going to fill up with water before you can open the door.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so
that's
you're hanging out in an air pocket, and you just got to sort of maintain your cool. I mean, because if you freak out, you're dead.
So when we watch these movies, these James Bond movies, pay attention
that's
to
true.
How he gets out.
That is true. He does
this
it the right way.
Just in case some crazy, weird thing happens.
I know.
Could you imagine? Okay, they also suggest a hand crank radio. I don't know about that. I don't think I'm going to invest in the hand crank radio. But for the house, you know, it doesn't require batteries. It allows you to listen to emergency broadcasts or travel advisories. So if you live in Tornado Alley like we do, maybe that is such a good, you know, I guess you keep them at the house and you can put them in the car whenever you travel. A wood log, because one log would keep you warm for up to 4 hours.
That's an interesting thing. I hadn't thought about that. Having a log in the back of the car.
Yeah.
And some matches to light it with and some
right.
lighter fluid, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little dangerous.
Some flint. You know,
Flint.
a change of clothes, which you know, keep updated for the seasons.
Yep. Everybody's mom said don't leave the house without clean undies on in case you get in a wreck or get
right.
stranded.
A multi-tool, like a Swiss Army, this is a good travel companion, could come in handy no matter where you are.
Leatherman.
The Leatherman.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, that's what,
I carry a Leatherman in my car.
That's what the guy had in 127 hours, didn't he?
Yeah, I carry a Leatherman in my car just because it's got everything you need in case you need something like that.
I think that's what he was using to help cut his arm off.
Okay, stop. Okay, one of our wonderful texters, hey, there's a major accident at 75 northbound just after Stacy. Two rigs on fire. Traffic is completely stopped. No police here yet. It just happened.
Oh, no.
Major accident, 75 northbound just after Stacy.
So everybody that's heading north up in Allen.
Get off.
Get off the highway. Find another route. Take Greenville. Get off 75.
A couple of other texts real quick. I have an 08 Pontiac G8. Mint condition. How much is it worth? Somewhere around 19 grand or so. That should be an 08 G8 if it's got 30, 35,000 miles on it. Another one, I have a 98 Jeep Grand Cherokee with a 5.9 Hemi and 220,000 miles. What's it worth? Anything you can get somebody to give you for it, bud.
No,
220,000 miles on a 98
Grand Cherokee.
You
might have
driven
all the worth out of that one.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think that car is classic.
No, it's still, hey, if it's running, it's still worth it. It's all-wheel drive.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
it's probably
it's a good ranch vehicle.
Grand, $1,200. You figure wholesale, maybe $2,000 retail, something
not
like
2000.
That. Oh, retail maybe.
Okay.
Okay.
You going to pay $2,000 for it?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay. Coming up next, we're going to talk about traffic deaths, whether or not they've gone up or down. Plus, we've got some info on Saab for you. So stay tuned. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. AutoFlex Leasing. Oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, and me, Sybil Summers. 877-881-1053 is the phone number. The fan text message is 43733. And the phone number to AutoFlex is
817 or 972-234-1234. If you're out shopping for cars this weekend, you owe it to yourself to give us a call. Whether you're going to lease a new car or lease or buy a pre-owned car, don't do it until you check with AutoFlex, because you don't know if you got the best deal then.
That's right.
And why should they call you?
Because we are the good guys.
People love that.
And gals.
Someone texted in and wanted to know who was the best, us or another leasing company. And obviously, that's why we are the good guys.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Lots of auto news. Auto news for automobile business. The business was up 17% across the board last month.
Nice.
In the month of March. Big gain. Actually, AutoFlex was up 21, almost 22%, which we're really, really proud of. A couple of interesting things in here, though. Saab was up 524%.
Wow.
Because last year they weren't selling cars.
Okay.
Yeah, they were in limbo last year because no one knew if they were even going to be open again. So now we know they're going to be open again because they reopened because Spyker, the custom car company out of Sweden in partnership with the country of Sweden, bailed out Saab. And so they've been running and they've been manufacturing cars. In fact, they've been pumping out a couple of hundred cars a day. But last week, they had some problems. They didn't pay a couple of their suppliers, and their suppliers stopped sending parts.
Uh-oh.
Dash parts, interior parts, things they got to have to put a car together. So now Spyker has issued a statement that says that the continuity of Saab could become uncertain. I love the way they say that. That means that they may not keep going.
Right.
Now, there may be a white knight coming, though, because Vladimir Anatov, who is a banker and industrialist from Russia, who originally was going to bail Saab out, but the government of Sweden didn't like his action so much because they said there were rumors of him having mob relationships.
Organized crime.
So a year ago, they didn't really like Anatov because he had organized crime relations, but now he says that his name has been cleared.
Sure. My name has been cleared. All of those people have disappeared.
So anyway, Anatov is back in the mix now, and they may, in fact, take some of his money to bail him out.
Okay. Now you want my money.
Yeah,
right.
Now they'll take it. All right. There is a Dodge Charger in the new movie Fast Five, which will be out on April 29th, and it's a Universal movie. Fast Five is the latest installment of the Fast and Furious movies.
Wow, I didn't know they were still making those.
Yeah, yeah. And the Dodge Charger's got like a starring role in the movie, so it's sort of like the Mustang was in Bullet.
Cool.
And Dodge is actually helping promote the film, and they're going to give away five Chargers to fans of the Fast Five movie, and they've got a sweepstakes going.
Neat.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
I might enter that.
I wonder what the color is going to be, the special, you know, how...
You know, I don't know. Cause, you know, the Mustang and Bullet was green.
That was
and
a green
Transformers
Mustang.
Was yellow yellow Camaro. And,
so what's mm-hmm. What's this Dodge going to be?
I don't know. I haven't seen the pictures yet. So
we'll see.
You may have to see the movie on the
29th.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
The same day as the big wedding?
Ford's doing some really, really, really cool stuff. They are building a digital crash dummy for a child. And you got to realize that if they can construct a completely digital, accurate crash dummy for a child, they can design a lot better safety restraints for children in cars. So they are doing this. It's going to take them 5 years to get this done. It's very, very difficult.
So digital, not like a 3D crash test dummy, a traditional one where you could reach out and touch it. You're
right.
Talking about something on the computer.
Actually, so they can go in and measure the forces against this digital dummy and see how to better protect children in cars.
Interesting.
Now, Toyota has one already, but Toyota basically shrunk an adult down, which is slightly different than the dimensions of a real child. They're dimensionally not the same. So it's great research that Ford is doing, and hopefully it will help them build a lot safer cars than we have now. Speaking of that, traffic deaths were down in 2010 again.
Good.
In fact, traffic deaths were the lowest they've been since 1949.
Thank goodness for our safer cars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Airbags, anti-lock brakes.
Here's the thing that really got me. Traffic deaths are also down. They're down 25% from just 2005.
Wow.
So, and you're right. Side impact airbags, anti-skid devices, less people driving drunk. There's a lot of reasons that the traffic deaths are down. So it's good news. Now, there was a couple of areas of the country that traffic deaths were not down, but they blame that mostly on a really, really tough winter. Lots of ice on the road and, you know, that kind of thing.
But good in general, it's down. That's wonderful. Because there are more people on the road, that's for sure.
Okay.
Here's
Toyota.
Go ahead.
Okay. Toyota, not guilty again. Toyota was found not guilty in a court in Islip, New York. Where a doctor had sued them, saying that sudden acceleration had caused him to run his Scion into a tree. And the jury there took less than an hour to determine that the doctor had run his own car into a tree by having his foot on the accelerator rather than the brake. So.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fantext. With the whole Japan situation, are car prices going to go up?
They really going to go up? Yeah, they already have.
And they really have gone up a bunch.
They reissued window stickers on Infinities.
Yep.
Not only the cars that were still over there, but the cars here, they sent new window stickers to the dealers and said, rip off the old ones, put on the new ones.
Yep.
Wow.
They've already taken away discounts that the discounts that we were getting have already shrunk.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's real.
Yeah, it's real. And it's going to affect everyone. It's going to affect all of the Asian models that are built over there. It's going to affect all the ones that are built over here because of the components that are not being made at the factories. There's a chip maker in Japan that makes 50% of the components that go into ignition systems of cars. It's a big chip maker.
All brands?
Pretty well all brands. And they're going to close for 5 months. Now, they've got another factory they're shifting some of the load to, but nationally, what we're looking at is probably up to a 30% decline in the number of cars built for the rest of this year.
For the rest of 2011.
30%. That means 3 out of 10 won't be built. So yes, car prices will go up.
And, you know, we mentioned this right after the earthquake. And even our good friend, you know, he was like, well, they're going to recover pretty quickly. But there's just no way that something like that devastating would not affect. I mean, going to flow. It's just like the domino.
About Dr. Mike Smitka, who was on the show, and he's right. They do have a lot of redundancies built into their manufacturing over there. But the fact is, you're dealing with more than one issue because you've got the issue of the cars that were destroyed. They're all gone. Mm-hmm. You've got the issue of the cars that aren't being built.
Right.
Because they've had to close their factories down for anywhere from a week to up to 2 or 3 months in some cases. You've got the issue of components that are not being built that go into cars that are built all over the world. Those components won't be shipped. And then you've got the shipping issue because the ports were all damaged.
Right.
So the cars that were going to go on ships or the parts that were going to go on ships can't go on those ships right now because the ports are closed. So like General Motors last week chose to air freight a lot of components over so they could continue to build cars. Well, that drives up the cost of the part because of the shipping, so it drives up the cost of the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, cars are going to get more expensive for a little while anyway.
Not good news.
Another tester. glad I got my Honda in January.
Yes,
yep, you should
glad.
Be.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've seen the biggest increase we've seen so far has been a $1,300 increase in Honda, and that's been the biggest thing we've seen so far. And that is because of incentives that are no longer – that's the thing, folks.
They've taken the incentives away.
They're not going to put incentives on cars when they don't have enough cars.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing to go are the incentives that the factory has placed on the cars.
Got it.
Oh, you mispronounced it. It's Islip.
Islip. I apologize to all
slip,
you folks
you
out
slip.
There that know how to –
we all slip for Islip.
I don't speak New York.
No. We speak Texan.
That's right. Okay, real quickly, I want to get into one of our big topics that we discuss usually is texting while driving. We're against it. And apparently there's a new state law that's also against it.
That's right. Representative Tom Craddock of Midland has introduced House Bill number 243, which says basically, in fact, it says exactly, an operator may not use a wireless communication device to read, write, or send text-based communications while operating a motor vehicle unless the vehicle is stopped. So it will be, there's a lot of cities, like I think University Park was the first city that I knew of to mm-hmm. ban texting, and they did it first in school zones, and I think they've got a general ban now. But this is a statewide ban that will have penalties attached to it for those silly enough to still be texting while you're driving. By the way, we see you and we hate you when we see you do that. We do.
Oh, the hate, if you knew.
I know.
It's just because it is so flippin' dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
If your eyes are off the road, they're not paying attention to what somebody else can do. So here's what I said. We're not going to, you can't stop it. There's still going to be a certain percentage of people that will do it, just like people who drink and drive. That's why I'm not going to be out on the road after midnight. My dad always told me nothing good happens after midnight. Now I understand what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
It's the boogeymen are out, the people that have left the club, and they're driving to the Jack in the Box, and mm-hmm. then they're on their way home, and they've had a few too many, and they're driving their car. Illegally, obviously, but they're going to do it. So you have to be proactive and be defensive. So watch out for those texters and just don't join in.
And speaking of a texter, hopefully he's not driving while he texts this. So if prices go up, will resale value on used cars go up as well?
Absolutely.
That's what I was talking about 5 minutes ago. The price on used cars has gone up rather remarkably in the last 6 months, mm-hmm. but certainly it's going up now.
Right.
We need used cars at Autoflex. We're having a heck of a time keeping our lot stocked. So if you're thinking about trading, then let's go. Call us because we need your car.
All right. What are those phone numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. Now, if you want us to really pay top dollar for your car, though, you probably got to bring it to us so we can see it. Because if it's really nice, we can give you a lot of money for it.
We need to see how fabulous it is. And if you're looking for a specific car, don't hesitate to call us because we basically have a used car factory with all of our lease clients out there. We can shop within our own database to find the car you're looking for today.
That's right. So call Ooh. Autoflex or visit them on the web at autoflex.com. Thanks to Waddle on the board, Jedi Jansen on the phones. Join us back here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, my name is Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. It's so hard to keep the smile from my face. Losing control.